Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by the bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear up you so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited on him. This is the story of life for the people of God.
We have a playground down here. If any of our younger disciples would like to join us down here, you're very welcome. There are quiet toys and friends to play with. Older disciples, you could come too if you needed. As I mentioned, today is Hand Motion Sunday. There are three hand motions you're going to need to know to follow along with this message. Hi, come on and join the playground. Welcome. The hand motions are these. When I say stop, you are going to stop and freeze, and then you can go back to life as usual. So when I say stop, nice job. When I say look around, you are going to look around. Beautiful. And when I say you're going to say You got it. Stop. Look around. Beautiful. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room be holy and pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, do you know what season we're in now? Lent. Somebody said Lent. You got it. Do you know what color we use for Lent? How would you know? You could look here, or you could always look here to know what color we're using. We're using purple for Lent. Carol and Kate made this purple pyramid. Isn't it beautiful? Do you know what we do in Lent? Do you know? You are brilliant. We give up something. And even a little bit bigger than that. You're right. The story of Lent is kind of big. And it's this. Lent comes from a Middle English word, Lancten, which means springtime. And Lent is sort of a springtime for our soul or for our spirit. The quickest summary is that it's a time like spring where we turn things over and we hope for new growth. Is anybody going to turn their garden over when the snow goes away later this spring? It's kind of like that. Lent is a time where we stop. Nice job, Sandy. You got it. We look around and we say, how am I living? Here's how it started. 325 years, give or take, after Jesus died, Christians had gotten a little soft. They'd gotten a little lazy. They'd been waiting for Jesus to come back, And he hadn't come back yet, and they'd kind of mellowed out a little bit. As the preacher and writer Barbara Brown Taylor writes, they found, quote, no contradiction between being comfortable and being Christian. And before long, it was very hard to pick them out from the population at large. They no longer distinguished themselves by their bold love for one another. They didn't get arrested for championing the poor. They blended in. They avoided extremes. They decided to be nice instead of holy. And God moaned out loud. End quote. In other words, they had kind of forgotten the stuff that we try to talk about here every Sunday morning, which is the central parts of the gospel involve caring for the least of these and loving the marginalized and flipping power on its head and the last being first. So sometime around the year 325, church leaders started talking about what to do about this comfortable Christianity they were seeing. And sometimes, often, when church people want to know what to do, they look to a book. Do you have a guess what book they look to? The Bible. Yes, they looked to the Bible, and they saw today's story, where Jesus was in the desert for how many days? Anybody remember? 40 days, tempted. And they saw the story where Noah was on an ark for how many days? 40. And they saw the story where Moses was on a mountain working out the covenant with God, writing on those tablets, the Ten Commandments, for how many days? And they saw the story where Moses and the Israelites were wandering in the desert for how many years? 40. Last time to get it right. And they saw the story of Elijah up on the mountain waiting for God to appear for how many days? 40. And at the end of 40 days, the still small voice appeared. And they thought, nice work. Maybe there's something here. Maybe all of us could benefit from carving out 40 days now and then for some intentional spiritual reflection. Time to stop, look around, and say, nice. Am I living how I want to be living? Does all of this glorify God? So, we've been doing that for about 1,692 years, give or take. And often, as our wise young disciple said, I forget who answered now, Lent involves giving something up. You were right. Oftentimes, people give up something like candy or soda. When I was 13, I gave up chocolate for all of Lent. It was really hard. And it wasn't very holy for me. It was mostly just really hard. And that's not the idea, to give up something just to prove to ourselves that we can do it. The idea more really is to stop. To really look around. To really ask the question, does this that I'm doing glorify God? Does this that I'm doing live the gospel? Does this help me to care for the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed? Or is what I'm doing hindering that work? It's a lot of time saying, as we look at who we are and how we are living. So, because Sandy is amazing, and because we like to have fun together, Sandy and I have come up with a project for Lent to help us do this. Here's the project. We have this fish tank full of play balls. You see it? You see it? And they all have writing on them. This one says gardening. This one says writing letters. This one says helping people. And this one says busyness. And this one says judgment. The idea is this. These are, each of these play balls is something that we spend energy and time doing. Each of these, the idea is something that takes up energy and space in our life, or it might. And the tank is our lives. And we are creatures of habit, so we get busy, and sometimes we stop thinking super intentionally about what we're doing, and we just start living, and we just start bouncing all the balls around, all the ways that we spend our time and our energy and our heart. And does anybody's life ever kind of feel like this? And so the point of Lent, what do you want me to do? Is to stop and to look around. How am I filling my tank? What am I giving my heart and energy and time to? We look at the play balls or the things we spend our energy doing and we say, does this glorify God? Does this help me to live the gospel? And then we make decisions. Do I want this in my tank? This ball says kindness. So if we're looking at this play ball, does kindness help me to glorify God? Does kindness help me to live the gospel? Probably, yes, especially if I'm showing kindness to somebody on the margins, to somebody having a hard time, to somebody who's not doing well. Yes, let's put that in the tank. This ball says bike rides. Do bike rides help me to glorify God? Do they help me to live the gospel? Maybe. If the question were for me, I would say yes, sort of. I don't really love riding my bike, but I love being outside and being active. And for me, that's something that fuels me, that gives me courage and energy and makes it more possible for me to go live the gospel. So for me, yes. Some people might not like bike rides, and that might not be life-giving for them. This one says worry. Does time worrying help us to glorify God? Does that help us to live the gospel? For me, no. For me, worry just keeps me up at night and makes me all fidgety and not very fun to be around. So I would say no. Let's put that one out of our tank. You get the idea? Except we are all going to answer these questions differently. At the last church that I served in Oregon, we had a woman who said that worry for her was really important. Worry meant she cared. She worried about her friends and her family, and for her, that was a form of prayer. People used to ask her to worry about them because they knew that meant she was praying for them. So if this were her tank, I need that ball back, she would say, yes, that glorifies God. That helps me to live the gospel. My worrying is sacred. We won't all have the same answers. All of our tanks wouldn't look the same, and that's okay. This is our project for Lent. Friends, we are going to keep this tank out all of Lent, and we're going to have more play balls in it, and you are going to get to play. You can come before service or after service or during the week, and you can move the play balls around. You can take some out if you think prejudice doesn't and pride don't help you glorify God, and you can put some in. If you're trying to get worry out of your tank and you need trust or you need deep breathing or you need prayer, you can add those in. Starting today, even, we have lots of play balls. We have two baskets in the back of the church. And today, on your way up to take communion, or if that doesn't work for you, then after church or sometime, you're invited to go back to those two stations and grab a play ball and write on it, with the marker back there, something that you either want to add to your tank or something you want to take out of your tank. There's a color code. Purple and blue. This says worry. This says pride. These are things we're trying to get out of our tanks. If you have something you want to get out of your tank, use a purple or blue ball. Green and red. This one says forgiveness. This one says play. These are things we're trying to add to our tanks. There's a key back there, so you don't have to remember that. You can look. Sandy wrote it down for us. Every week during Lent, our sermon will talk about things we're trying to take out of our tank, things like shame, things like being too serious, things like prejudice, and then we'll talk about things we might add into our tank to replace. Finally, since Lent is something that goes on for 40 days, not just the Sundays in Lent, Sandy and I are sending you home with some tools that you might use at home. Sandy found it. There is a purple double-sided sheet in everyone's bulletin that has suggestions of activities you might do at home for all ages. Nice, Kehlani, you got it. You might look at that and say, is there something on here our family wants to work with? Older disciples, that's you adults, there's also an adult specific box on the second to last page of your bulletin that talks about some spiritual practices you might look into. Friends, if you do nothing for Lent different than you've ever done, you'll be fine. You'll probably keep being the lovely people you are and probably keep having the relationship with God that you're working on having, and that'll be okay. But I promise you, if you try to take on a spiritual practice, if you add something to your tank or take something out of your tank or work on one of these activities at home, you will explore new depths in yourself, a new level of relationship with God. You will grow. And when we get to Easter, 40 days from now, you will experience resurrection in a new way. So I urge you to pray about crafting a meaningful Lenten series for yourselves, a springtime for your souls. We don't want to be soft Christians here, right? We want to be real Christians. We want to live the gospel, and this Lent, we want to look at how we're giving our energy and ask if it glorifies God. This Lent, I urge you then to stop. Nice. Look around and say, does it glorify God? Does it live the gospel? We can do it if we do it together. Amen.